Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
It is time for hour number two here on Darren Donican Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tons going on. Tons going on. Let's quickly recap what has happened so far, both for the Titans and the Predators. The draft is going on. The Predators have made a trade. But first, the Titans did get positive COVID tests this morning. So that will prohibit them from being back in the facility. They have had no comment. To this point, I don't know if I would expect them to, but on top of the reality that it looks like there's no way you could play the Bills game scheduled for Sunday, we don't know what the ramifications are for the investigation, but there has been an allegation reported from the Washington Post and Tom Pelissero as well that the NFLPA is looking into a gathering of Titans players away from the facility, a workout that would not be sanctioned, especially while their facility was shut down. We still don't know exactly when that allegedly took place along the timeline, but if true, that would not bode well for we followed the protocols. Meanwhile, the Predators have traded Nick Bonino to the Minnesota Wild, along with one of their second-round picks and one of their third-round picks. They had two of each. That's going on right now, in exchange for center Luke Cunnan, who is a former first-round pick, who is only 22 years old, and he is a restricted free agent. So they'll have to figure out what to pay him going forward. But he's a guy that...
I don't hate this, though.
No, not at all. I think this is...
31 points last year. In 63
at age
games.
21, I think there's a lot of upside there. I'll be curious to see what some people say. I have to say, I've watched him play. He's played some games against the Predators, but I don't know. I haven't seen him enough to really know what his game is. Is he a two-way player, for example? Because you're trading for a center. You already have. You just traded a bedrock third-line center, right? The quintessential third-line center in Bonino. So who's your third-line center? Could it be Colton Sissons? Yes. But where do you play Luke Cunin? Is he your number two center? Well, you got Matt Duchene. Can Cunin play wing? I don't know. Because what does this mean for what's happening with Kyle Turris? That's the other question. These are all questions. Adam Vingan will join us at 11:30. So we have two major things going on right now, the Titans situation and the Predators. And along those lines, the Predators made a very intriguing first-round pick last night, taking the Russian goalie, who's only 17 years old, but has these glowing scouting reports. So a lot to handle here during this hour. We're going to attempt to do it. If you want to weigh in, call us,
615-737-1025.
So 737-1025 with the call or text, and that's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Where do you want to start, Jace? To the phones?
Let's start with the phones. I know Doug's been waiting patiently. So
all right, let's get to Doug first.
Yep, Doug has a question. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. I know that you can say that the NFL has tried to have some policies, but you can't say that they're very stringent because after the game, what do you see? Fraternizing on the field, dapping it up. I haven't seen jersey transfers, but is that a sign that you're trying to be very harsh? I mean, what is, you can have your own views of this coronavirus thing, but one of the things they say is social distancing. You're not distancing when there's an interview going over there with a long boom mic and guys are dapping it up on the field. This summer when my son was finally allowed to play travel ball, the customary handshake, good game at the end of the game was replaced with the line it up on first and third, tip the hat, get off the field.
Well, I heard this from Dr. Sills, and that is in an interview. He said the social distancing thing and football, it just doesn't mix. So he said the key principle for everything for the NFL is predicated on having a good feeling that when you enter the facility, everybody is virus-free. And it seemed like a brilliant plan for 3 weeks. And now we see that it's human, right? It's when you're not in the bubble and you have so many players, this is what we were worried about before the season ever started. We were thinking this was inevitable to some degree. So I think in the grand scheme of things, you knew this was coming. So now the question is, how do you keep it under control enough so that you can execute your season, even though there's going to be some hurdles?
Right. I mean, and this is what we're running into, and this is why there's so much speculation of, okay, is there going to be a week 18? Is there going to be a pause? You know, how do you handle everything? Because I brought up earlier, you know, with baseball, there was more wiggle room that you could work through it, and then eventually you got to the bubble for the postseason, which I think the NFL is going to have to do. The NFL is going to have to come up with some sort of bubble model for the postseason once they get to that point. But it continues to create more questions. Every time you think you have one figured out, something else pops up. You know, we thought yesterday we didn't think we were out of the woods, but we're feeling better about it. Of, oh, okay, two straight days, negative tests. Here we go. And then this morning, two more players, according to reports, that have tested positive for the Titans. So it just continues to create more chaos. And as I told Elijah before the show, I just had a feeling that today was going to be one of those days, and so far it has been.
Well, here's another thing that we haven't even begun to speculate on, because we know the routine. Probably later today, you will find out who the players are that tested positive. And we're still, you know, it's been bad enough with several starters, but still haven't gotten into, you know, the kind of superstar player that could really derail you for a while.
Right. And that's what they're trying to avoid. Can I put myself on the list for a second for something that I just realized that I did? So trying to multitask and help Elijah out, I sent the tweet about the Preds trade, and I said Nick Cunning, not Luke Cunning, and that's not good. So that's my bad. That's me. I'm on the list.
You just made the list.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we're still trying to sort out the trade, because it would seem to be a pretty steep price. We also have seen this, and I'm trying to get this verified, but some reports that Kyle Turris was placed on unconditional waivers for a buyout, but I'm not seeing that verified yet.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not seeing that either. Adam Vingan just informed me he's a lot's going on right now, so maybe that's a part of it. So he's not going to be able to join.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
So there is certainly some things happening with the NFL and the NHL right now. Mike had a.
So it does look like I don't know where this is stemming from. I don't know who originally reported it, but it looks like Turris will be bought out here.
Yeah,
so it would appear. We were just talking about how crowded the center position was going to be. Well, this makes it less crowded. But, of course, the downside of the buyout is the money's you're going to be paying for a long time. It's going to be on your books.
Right. And what is it, 8 years? 8 years for $2 million?
I forget. It's something like that. I mean, you can spread. I think have some options on how you want to spread the money out, but I think that's the logical one. You spread it out over a long period of time, but not it doesn't kill you each year, but it's a little bite each year.
Right. I mean, it's just it's kind of what we talked about with Adam yesterday. That is it the lesser of two evils to do it that way? Yes, it hurts you. You're on the hook for $2 million for the next 8 years or whatever it is, but you'd have to give up a lot to trade him it almost hurts you less just to go ahead and buy him out. And according to reports, that is Twitter's exploding, that could be happening right now. So I know
Chris Johnston from TSN, Kyle Turris, and Steven Santini have been bought out or have been put on waivers for the purpose of a buyout. So the Predators just got a ton of cap space by the trade of Bonino and Turris, for sure. They're going to need to sign Luke Cunnan, who was on this entry-level deal, so he was dirt cheap, and he's had a certain amount of production, but I would think he's going to be fairly inexpensive and a guy that they feel like could be a guy that is ready to play now and be very good and could only get better. He's the key to this whole thing because they just gave up the 37th and 70th picks along with Bonino to get Cunnan, and they got one pick back, pick number, I think, 101. So they still have a bunch of picks that they're going to have. They have 42, 73, 101, 135, and 166 still to work with. So the next question is, with the extra cap space, knowing that Granlund and Smith are gone too, and Cunnan is not going to be very expensive, is there now room to make a move where you do take on some salary, significant salary?
That's what I wonder, because David Poile has been steadfast in saying that this isn't a rebuild. And right now it may appear that way, but now that he's cleared the room, you know, do they go after, whether it's a free agent? I know who everybody's thinking, but do they go after a free agent? Is there another trade? I mean, we've seen domino moves before. He's cleared the room. Now, is there another move that he's working on? But he was honest with everybody. He said that there were going to be changes. This team is going to look very different next year. It already does with the pieces that are moving on. So now the Nashville Predators PR putting out the updated 2020 draft selections. So they have pick number 42 in the second. They have a third, number 73. They acquired the fourth rounder, number 101 in the Bonino trade, and then fifth rounder and a sixth rounder. So
right,
still have more picks to help stock the cupboard.
And as you pointed out, I think you just tweeted this, Cap Friendly has, with Kyle Turris's eight-year, $2 million contract buyout applied. So the Predators have $16 million in cap space with a roster of 16 right now. But yes, they pay the 8 years, $2 million, through 2028. So Kyle Turris is going to, it's just shy of Bobby Bonilla. It's the longest buyout that they've ever had. They have had some buyouts before, but never anything that long. So it's done. I think.
And you said Santini too, right?
Santini as well, according to Chris Johnston from TSN. So let's again take a deep breath, because this is going to open up all kinds of avenues here. We said this earlier in the week with Adam Vingan, that if you're in a position where you are a buyer, there's going to be a lot of options for you if you're willing, if you have some space to work with. So I think there's going to be some more moves for sure. I think it's just a question of where you go. Do you try to make a bargain trade? I still don't know. Of course, I'm sitting here going, I don't think that the Taylor Hall thing is in the cards, but I was wrong, dead wrong about the goalie being.
I think it's more in the cards now than it was 10 minutes ago.
Well, I guess, but is that smart though? I don't see that is.
I'm not saying
a move
that
makes you a contender. I think you're looking to add a few pieces at this point. Let's say it was $10 million. Or $9 million for Hall, I'd rather have $3 million guys.
Yeah.
Who I think could all be really good players and bring you different ingredients that could help you win.
And
I think that would be a much smarter way to go.
I'd take a flyer on Bobby Ryan. I have said that 1 year, $1 million, do the Ribeiro deal. If, you know, because his story's tremendous of how he's tried to turn things around. He's looking for a fresh start. He's got the opportunity for a fresh start. I know the Flyers would be attractive to him because that's, you know, the hometown and everything, but bring him in on a low risk deal, see what happens. Put him with Duchesne. They have history together. They're playing in Ottawa. It makes sense to me. And you already had the room to do that, but you have even more room to do something like that. You don't have to go and get the big fish like they have been doing, because quite frankly, it hasn't gotten you to your goal yet. So I think David Poile has done a lot of soul searching and a lot of discussion with his front office. Where is the window right now? I would say it's not closed completely, but it's cracked. And depending on what happens over the next few days, that determines if it's shut or if it's even more open. So but they have now put themselves in a position to make some moves and to retool this roster, maybe being a playoff team in 2021 and then back to a contender in the following seasons.
Okay, let's do this. We'll step away. Adam will not be joining us at 11:30. Yeah, I think we all need a break. We've got a lot going. It's going 100 miles an hour here. This is why, of course, when things get chaotic and everything's flying, you got to be able to keep your poise. We're going to do that. We will take your questions and texts. Keep them coming, because
there's another name
time.
That just got thrown out on the text line that we'll discuss when we come back.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase. We'd love your opinions on the Titans situation. Where do they go from here? And on the Nick Bonino trade and where the Predators go from here. Two major stories going on at once. We'll tackle it as we continue here on The Game. Excellent choice by Elijah to bring us back with our Van Halen tribute continuing today. We've got a lot going on here. 737-1025. You got Titans issues, Predators issues. There's both. Both have great excitement levels going on right now, and there's more trades going on. It was so quiet last night during the NHL draft. Nobody made the big deal, but today they're coming down the pike faster than you can count. With that in mind, Chase, you have a theory you want to toss out there.
I have a theory with all this news that's coming out. According to Cap Friendly, the Predators now have $17.6 million in cap space. That's what they have. Are they going to spend to the cap? I don't know. That's a valid question because of the pandemic and the flat cap. Are they going to spend right up to it like we've seen in the past few years? But here's my theory for you. David Poile has had a tremendous career. He's obviously the only GM the Predators have ever known, but the only thing he hasn't accomplished is winning the Stanley Cup. He's closer to the end of his career than he is the beginning. I think we all recognize that. So having the idea of resetting the roster, taking 3 years to get back to being a contender, 2 or 3 years, whatever it is, I don't think he wants to do that, because you got that in your mind of, I want to win the cup. So am I crazy to think that the moves that have been made today, clearing this space, could he have one more big fish that he's going to try and reel in? And is that fish's name Patrick Laine?
Well, what do you have to trade for Patrick Laine?
You have draft picks. That's pretty much what you have. You have some prospects, but again, we've been talking about restocking the cupboard. Are you going to take it all, basically take everything out of the cupboard to get Laine to do that again? But if you're Poile and you want to win a cup, I would certainly understand that. That's my theory I'm throwing out. I mean, does any of that make sense that they would try one more shot at it to make them, because Patrick Laine joining this team on paper, at least, I mean, that makes you better. There's no other way to put it. That makes you better. There's still some other holes, but
I gotta know what's going out the door before you say they're better. Are you trading your next three first round picks? I think for them to make a move like that, for the Jets to be interested, you got to bring something huge to the table. Huge. They're not just trying to get rid of them. Speaking of that, the Predators are on the clock with their remaining second-round pick, pick number 42 overall. So we will see where they go with that. But if you're just joining us, major news for both the Titans and the Predators. For the Predators, they've traded Nick Bonino plus one of their two second-round picks and one of their two third-round picks to Minnesota for a fourth-round pick and center Luke Cunnan, who are still going to prepare a little more info for you on because he's a critical guy. They gave up a lot to get him, but he's very young, and he is now going to be a key part of the future as the Predators get a little bit younger. I agree with you, Chase. There's more big moves coming. I don't think this is a team that's ready to say we're going to take a big step back, but I think you're trying to thread the needle of getting younger, looking at your nucleus and making it a little less expensive, a little more flexible, and room maybe to add some pieces that give you elements you're looking for. I can certainly see Colton Sissons doing a lot of what Nick Bonino does. What I want to know is what Cunnan does on paper. You hope he can be a really good scorer, but you have Johansson and Duchesne. Can he play the wing is a question I have. Can he play the wing way better, for example, than a Kyle Turris? Can you see him on the wing taking the spot of Mikhail Granlund in the top six? That would be a good fit, right? You know, can you see a line of Cunnan, Duchesne, Tolvanen, something like that, right? Is there a fit there? Because he's listed as a center, but, you know, there are a lot of people on a roster that are listed as centers, but they can easily play wing. I just wonder if he's a guy like that.
Yeah, and, I mean, again, because right now your players up the middle are Johansson, Duchesne, Sissons, and then Cunnan is a center, so that would be four. You've removed Turris, you've removed
Bonino.
But like
Cali Yarncroke and Colton Sissons are centers, but they don't play center every night.
Right.
Right.
And can't Watson play center? Didn't he?
He can. Oh, absolutely. He can, but I think he's more comfortable on the wing at this stage of his career. He's played way more on the wing, but Sissons and Yarncroke can easily play center. So there are guys versatile enough to play both. I think the pieces fit together better if Cunnan is a capable winger on the top six.
Right. Paul says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, he heard my Patrick Laine throwing that out there. He goes, LOL, my theory, Chase, I just sent you, Joey for Laine straight up. I don't see that happening.
The Jets
simply because now, 10 minutes ago, the Predators were loaded at center, and now they just got rid of two. Now they gained one back, but I don't see that. I don't see that happening.
Well, the Jets wouldn't do that. I don't think there's any way. The Jets are looking to retool as well, but if they're going to part with Laine, they've got to get a King's ransom back. The Predators have made their selection in the second round. It is a kid out of London of the OHL, right winger Luke Evangelista.
Okay.
Luke Evangelista, a right winger. So there you go. We'll start doing our homework on him.
Now, one thing to point out, and Robbie Stanley from our morning show, you know, texted this. The Taylor Hall thing keeps popping up. And now you've made some cap room where it's a little more feasible. Taylor Hall and John Hines had a very good relationship from all accounts from their time together in New Jersey. That is something that you have to think about, finding those connections. Would it be the right fit here with the other players that he would be with? Most likely Duchesne. Would that work? But there is that connection. There is that familiarity that Taylor Hall knows John Hines and John Hines knows him. So it is something to consider.
I would consider that more than making a trade for Laine, because you can just sign him as a free agent. I still would explore taking whatever it would cost to sign Hall, which would be a long-term commitment for a high dollar price for a guy that hasn't accomplished too much. I get the connection, and this is where you would have to really lean on John Hines. If you thought he was a perfect fit for Matt Duchesne, then I guess I would consider it. But I don't. I like the idea better of let's find available players who you can get at a discounted price who are really good players that give you the ingredients, the blend of elements that this roster needs right now that you've cleared up some room. Because if you didn't hear it, Kyle Turris is going to be bought out as well. So now your roster looks a little more open, where but you might still have some room to work in the young guys. But you also have the opportunity to bring in some new blood and sprinkle it in across the roster. On the defense corps, too, if you want to pick up another guy as a little insurance for a young Dante Fabro. So there's a lot of options here. And if you listen to the tea leaves or read the tea leaves and you listen to a lot of what's been talking about, there are players available out there for pretty much it's a buyer's market, right?
Yep.
So with that, let's go to Mike. He is on the line with a question about the draft last night. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Willie, did you pull the fire alarm?
Man, it seems like it. I didn't pull it, but wow.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys taking my call in the midst of all of this. So the question I had for you guys now has developed into a bigger deal because I feel like that all the news that's kind of come out, even while I've just been on hold, has made this question even more serious. So the Predators coming into the draft had a first, 2 seconds, and 2/3. And I, listening to the morning show and just like all week talking about the Preds, I thought that Poile needed to score. And I'm not putting that as like a, you know, a hypothetical, but just like make good on at least 3/4 of those picks to assure that he can keep his job. I mean, I feel like we're to a point where he's been the GM that we've had for eternity. And it's just weird to think without him. But now that we've traded away two of those picks and we drafted a goalie that we won't see for 2-3 years, we're banking a lot on this cunning guy. And I think that it's going to be very interesting to see if this doesn't work out, what the Predators decide to do with their future, because there's just not much space there for the Preds to like grow now with the draft because we've moved all of our pieces. So yeah, all this cap space could be nice. It'd be exciting to get another big player onto the team. I'd be excited to get a sniper because we haven't had one as long as I can remember. But yeah, that's a lot now there, but you guys keep having fun with it.
Well, you've thrown out a lot there. So let's address the goalie because we haven't today, Chase. Yes. Yaroslav Askarov from Russia. He's 17 years old. David Poile said to us last night immediately that he's going to spend at least the next 2 years in the KHL. That would be so. Those that just jump to the conclusion of, well, what does this mean for Juuse Saros? Well, really, this is way right down the road. This is way down the road. And this is the case with most draft picks. Now, there are cases like the Connor McDavids and such that can jump right in and give you immediate help. But by and large, when you draft a guy, you're not counting on that guy to help you right immediately, especially a goalie. So it could be 5 years. In 5 years, this kid is going to be 22. He'll still be younger than Juuse Saros was right when he started. That's a very young age even for a goalie to break in. We're talking 5 years. So it was a really interesting decision. It was a surprising decision for me because a lot can happen in 5 years, right? Where is the KHL in 5 years? How is his development in 5 years? But this kid got some accolades that I haven't seen very often for a first-round goalie. But it was an intriguing decision. They made it. But that's on the back burner for a while. Now, if Juuse Saros, in the meantime, in the next 2 or 3 years, turns in and blossoms into a guy that you feel like you can win a Stanley Cup with, well, then Askarov becomes a trade chip that you can use to get another asset back, right?
Yeah. I looked at it last night, and Justin and I were talking about it. If you go best player available, and there were some wingers that certainly could fit, and maybe the turnaround is quicker, but all indications with Askarov are he's a franchise goalie, and I think if you truly believe that a few years down the line he's going to make the team better, then it was the right move to make. They haven't hit on a on a goalie in the first round before, but who's to say that they won't hear? You just don't know. You're drafting 18-year-old kids. You have no idea exactly what these guys can be. But he's he's playing in the KHL right now, which is a very tough league
at
to play
17.
In.
He doesn't turn 18 until June.
Yeah, and he's teammates with Yakov Trenin, so he and Trenin can talk, and he can learn a little bit more about the organization and what he's getting into here in Nashville. I think that
start learning
big.
English.
Yeah, start learning English. So
I mean, we've talked to Pekka before about the acclimation when you come over to North America. It takes time. There are some Russian players who play Canadian junior, so by the time you draft them and you get them, they're advanced in that area. But in the case of this kid, I don't get the feeling he spent any time over here at all, other than maybe an international tournament here and there. So there's going to be a learning curve. There's so many things in a young man's development, especially a kid as young as him. But you look at his highlight reel. We'll talk to Chris Mason about this. He is impressive. I tweeted out an article from Corey Pronman from The Athletic, who is the guy that really studies all the prospects for all the teams. Glowing reports on this kid. So he's special for sure. But you still have to look way down the road before he's ever going to put a Predators uniform on. So I don't think it affects UC Saros at all. You're going to have to make a decision on UC Saros and his contract after next year. That's another thing. By the end of next year, you probably have to make a commitment to him on some level.
Right.
So how expensive will that be?
Because Pekka's contract will be up, and so will Saros. And
right.
I think the assumption is that...
But Saros is a restricted free agent, so right. You have some protection there.
And I mean, who knows? Pekka may... You may have something left. You may have something left in the tank. You could do a one-year deal. We don't know. Don't know what it's going to look like a year from now. But all indications are at that point, you're making the move. You're making the change to Saros, and you've made the decision. Can he be the guy for as long as you need him to be the guy? So, but that's a long way off, and there are a lot of moving pieces right now. As the Predators are, as they're in the second round, and they've already made a move. Nick Bonino traded to Minnesota. My phone's blowing up. I'm sure yours is too. Of people asking questions like, "What do you know about this guy?" and "What are they going to do now?" But
so let's take a break. When we come back, I know Christopher has a question. You can keep them coming on the air. 615-737-1025. Speaking of making the change. The Jets have named Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback, so they're going with the veteran and benching Sam Darnold. So sort of a desperate move by Adam Gase. We'll see what happens with them. When we come back, we'll continue to take your calls, your reaction of the Predators' moves, the Titans' issues, what's next for them. Keep it coming. 615-737-1025. We're back after this. All right, it's been a whirlwind of a show so far. The Predators with the trade. Nick Bonino plus a second, plus a third for Nick Cunnin. For Luke Cunnin. I made the same mistake that
I keep doing that
Chase
too.
Did. Luke Cunnin of the Minnesota Wild, a former first-round pick, 15th overall pick in the 2016 entry draft. He's only 22 years old, and he's a guy that had 15 goals and 16 assists last year at age 21. So a guy that really, I think, is a developed first-round pick. That's a big asset. That's why it was so expensive for the Predators to get him. He's also inexpensive in terms of the cap. Entry-level deal just expired. He's a restricted free agent. So with the Wild trying to sign Kevin Fiala to the next deal and all the other things that Bill Guerin has had to try to tackle to fix their salary cap, Cunnin was expendable because he's a guy that I think was about to become more expensive. But the question is, why would they not want him? Right? That's from the other side of it, right? Why do the Wild want to trade him if he's so good? I was looking at some of his highlights. He's got some skill for sure. He's 6 foot 197. Does he fill the area of nose for the net, stick his nose in there? I don't know. I got to watch more, but he's got some high skilled goals on there. I know Christopher has got a question for us, so let's go to him. You can keep your calls coming in and your texts at 615-737-1025. Christopher, what do you got?
Yeah, I was just curious that now that Laviolette and Turris are both gone, I mean, Turris was so far in the back of Lavi's doghouse, he couldn't see the door. So now that they're both gone, can we finally find out what the beef was between them?
That's a good question.
That's a great question, Christopher.
And it's kind of like going back through, you know, the autopsy, because as Adam said, he nominated the Kyle Turris trade as among the worst. He said the worst of all time. I don't know if it's the worst, but it's certainly in retrospect a move that did not pan out long term. In the short term, I think you can argue that Turris had a good stretch there on the team that won the Predators the President's Trophy. So they accomplished some things, but it just sort of fizzled at the wrong time, and he never got back. I just think if I had to pinpoint one, I don't think it's any one thing between two individuals. I think it was the ongoing challenge of Kyle Turris, A, not being the level of number two center that they hoped that he would be when they signed him. Then to try to cover that up, they traded P.K. Subban to free up the money for Matt Duchene. That made it a crowded house. So Duchene goes over Turris. There's no obvious place to put Turris in the lineup, and the pieces did not fit from there. So it becomes a sunk cost for Turris now, who they have bought out, and they will pay him, I think, what, $2 million for the next per year for the next 8 years.
Right.
And he can go play for somebody else, right? So he becomes one of these guys who might be an attractive bargain. But in doing this trade for Nick Bonino, the Predators have freed up a lot of money. Now, they got to sign Cunnan, but there's a lot of other guys that could be available who would fit better in the lineup than Kyle Turris was fitting.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers the question, but I don't know really that if that's the root of the problem. The root of the problem was Kyle Turris was given every opportunity to be the number two center. He wasn't productive enough, so that's when they went and made the move for Duchene. And in doing so, that moved Kyle Turris, and there just wasn't a fit.
I'll go out on a limb and say that I don't believe Kyle Turris will sign in Washington. So I don't think you'll see him playing for the Capitals, if I had to guess.
I would agree. I would agree.
Here's something to consider with this trade with Minnesota. Who is their GM? Bill Guerin. Bill Guerin spent a lot of time where? Pittsburgh. So there's familiarity with Nick Bonino from their time together.
I'm sure he's a huge fan of Nick Bonino.
And
who wouldn't be?
Right, because he's trying to change the culture in Minnesota. He's now trying to, you know, with the coach and with him as the GM, Bill put his stamp on things. If I'm trying to change the culture in a locker room, Nick Bonino is a guy I'm looking at for sure. So it makes sense from that standpoint. Yes, you're giving up a young player. I was just texting with Darren during the break. He goes, what do you think about this move? And I said, he's 22 years old. He's a former first-round draft pick. He had 31 points in 63 games last year, including 15 goals. I mean, you're looking for, and again, that's one season that he's done that. He's played parts of three seasons in the NHL, 19 games his first year, only 4 points. But in 49 games in year two, he had 17, six goals, 11 assists. So you're seeing him get a little bit better.
At a very young age.
I mean, that could be your Craig Smith right there, of finding your 20-goal scorer. You're just, you know what you're going to get out of him. So I don't think it's on paper, at least. I mean, I obviously don't know that much about Luke Cunnan, but on paper it feels like it's a good move considering what they gave up for him. You asked the question, is he going to play center? Can he play wing? You know, where are they going to use him? We'll have to answer those questions as we go, but I don't hate this move by any means. I hate losing Nick Bonino because we're all Nick Bonino fans, and I know a lot of people are bummed about that, but I will always reference, when you feel that way, I will always reference when David Poile made the trade, Patrick Hornquist for James Neal. No, you hated seeing Patrick Hornquist go, but the player you got back was pretty darn good for you. So it just, you have to give up something to get something.
Well, A,
and you got younger.
They got great value out of the free agent move for Nick Bonino. I think we would all agree with that.
Absolutely.
Three excellent seasons, and now you use him to get a guy that I think is a guy that they eye and say, here's a guy at age 22 that's ready to become a top six guy. So my number one question is, can he play wing? Is he versatile enough to do that? And my second question is, what are they ready to sign this guy for at this stage of his career? Is it, you know, 3 years at 1.5 per year? Or do they, you know, is it just a couple of years? Is it 1 year? You have some flexibility because he's a restricted free agent and he doesn't have the big rights to go unrestricted for quite some time. So he's going to be an inexpensive asset for the next few years. Or do they feel confident enough in that this is risky because he's never played for you, right? You don't know how he's going to fit in with this group. But you could even go with the move of, and I don't think this is going to be the case, but the philosophy that they used with some of their other guys, like Victor Arvidsson, you sign him for a longer term at a bargain price, and you dangle out the guaranteed money. I don't think they'll go that route. I think it'll be more of a maybe a couple of years, maybe 3 years, and try to get him at a really reasonable price, lock him in, but not overcommit until you really see what he does for your team.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be, with the $17 million in cap space, is going to be the big question. But I think you're going to get him less than Nick Bonino. So you've saved money. You've gotten younger. You have to look at it from that standpoint as a win. So is he going to be, you know, in line as like a $1.5, $2 million player, something like that? Probably.
I think that's probably the neighborhood. He's made $832,500. In his entry-level deal as a first-round pick. So I think he'll get a raise. You know, it's a pretty productive season. 15 goals, 16 assists in less than a full year. Remember, you know, over 81 games, that's closer to 20 goals, right? And that's at age 21. So he has produced pretty well for a first-round pick at a young age, and you feel like there's probably another level there. Also consider, I have to go back and look at this. How much, for example, power play time did he get? How much ice time did he get? You know, I'm sure not all of those games was he playing on the first line. Like I said, the Predators have played the Wild a lot. I don't know that Luke Cunnan was a guy that was getting huge ice. I remember him for sure, but I think he's probably had to wait his turn to play in a significant role a lot of nights, right? Out of the 131 games he's played. But we'll see.
A text here from Kyle. Do the Predators go after Taylor Hall? $17.7 million in cap space is insane in today's climate. He also says, or even Mike Hoffman for veteran presence on the second line. Now, Mike Hoffman is a name that we've thrown out there before. In, you know, an hour ago, they didn't really have room to do that. That does open the door that, and I don't know how much Mike Hoffman would cost. I'd have to look up what he made last year. I mean, I know that's probably, what, $5 million, somewhere in there? Maybe a Mikhail Granlund contract?
Well, the market is a new market.
Sure.
So I don't know that we really can tell what the market's going to be for a Mike Hoffman. But on the other side of the coin, because there's not a whole lot of really attractive free agents, does that make them more expensive?
Right. He made $5.1 million on his last contract.
I wouldn't be willing to go that high for him, but he's a valuable piece at the right price. I think you have to be thinking along the lines of who could help me bring out the best in Matt Duchene, right? If I've got the Jofa line as my number one line, and I know what I'm getting from them, what I should get from them, that's set. So then the question is, what are the pieces to put around Bonino? Duchene. We have Bonino gone. Is Cunnan on that line in your mind? Or is Cunnan more of a Bonino replacement where anchors a third line? I don't know. Cunnan is a first-round pick that should be a top-six guy. He's a goal scorer, right? That's by trade, so I'd like to know. He had a couple of power play goals last year. I just want to see how he fits with everybody else. What's their vision of that? Because that dictates. Because then, remember, you would love for Elie Tolvanen to jump in there and be the sniper, right? There's an inexpensive sniper, and now you've got a second line. Now you can really do some things with your Cali Yarncroaks, your Colton Sissons. You've got the ability still, your Trennans. You've got some pieces that you can piece together your third and fourth line and sprinkle in a veteran there that's not as expensive.
Right. And that's, you know, like a Pat Maroon or somebody like that.
Right. We've been talking about that type of player, right? They need that.
Some grit.
Whether it's
some...
Pat Maroon specifically or somebody like him, the toughness, the meanness, the edginess, Trennan gives you a little bit of that. But you're trying to revamp that part of it, right? And and that's the area of your roster where you're going to do that.
Yep. So, and I mean, you know, who knows?
So the Taylor Hall thing, I still think is a long shot. I'm not going there. In my mind, you can't rule anything out, but I just think at this point you've got enough. You still got plenty of guys that you're invested in long term, and you don't want too many of those guys.
Yeah.
Right? Duchesne, Johansson, Yossi, Ellis. Still a couple of more years of Forsberg, and now not too far down the road, Forsberg and Ekholm you'll have to make a decision on.
Right.
So Arvidsson, you've got the long term deal with him. So I don't know. I still like the idea of a little more flexibility. Try some different things with that money that you would otherwise throw all of it at Hall. If you make a move for Taylor Hall, even if you get him, now you've got nothing. You got nothing left to spend. What do you do with the rest of your?
Sure.
It fills one spot, but then you still have the whole toughness thing that you're trying to address. What are you going to do with that? So I don't think that's in the cards.
I guess I'm not throwing it out the door as much as you are, but I also it has to be the right price if they do it. I mean they can't spend all of what they just cleared up on him.
Well, that's what it would take.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right, but it's also a different year. You know, he and his agent might discuss, am I better off going shorter term this, you know, for this contract? And then waiting for the climate to clear up after the pandemic,
well,
and then go
chase
the long-term
deal. I guess
deal.
That I don't see that happening, but I guess that would be the one thing.
Well, he may not have a choice because he may throw out what he wants, and teams may be like, "Dude, we're in a pandemic. We want you, but I'm not going to sign you
possible.
6 years." So
I guess I'm still thinking he is attractive enough that he will get a long-term offer that he likes from somebody. That takes that off the table. It just takes one or two teams to get going to get him in that ballpark. It may not be the same as what it was a couple of years ago, but I think still he's still the number one most attractive free agent out there. True?
I would say, well, Petrangelo.
In a year where there's not a lot of them. That should work to his favor.
Yeah, I mean, would you have him or Petrangelo?
Well, I'm looking at forwards.
Forwards.
Petrangelo
yeah, okay.
is clearly the number one defenseman.
Right.
And he's 30, going to be 31. So that's, and Taylor Hall is, I think, in a similar.
28.
So he's a little younger.
He'll be 29 in November.
Okay. That helps. I think that helps Hall. All right. Let's quickly recap what has happened today.
So much.
So much. Titans, additional positive test. We don't know who. They're not speaking today, but they can't get back into their facility. We're going to talk about it with Tim Hasselbeck in our next segment. We don't know what's next. We don't know what the verdict is on the game on Sunday. We don't think it'll be played on Sunday against the Bills. Logistically, don't see how it's possible. The forfeit word has been thrown out there in some reports. No reason to believe that is going to happen, but we still don't know from the league what their findings are about the protocols. Meanwhile, Stephon Gilmore, who was on the plane amongst Patriots players who had been close to Cam Newton, he has tested positive. There's reports of an additional Patriots player. They're not practicing today. They took the chance of flying to Kansas City, had 20 players on a plane who had been near Cam Newton. That sounds like a recipe for disaster, and now we're starting to see the results of that. The Raiders have a player that tested positive. The Raiders had a fundraising event where they were fined huge amounts of dollars, 10 different players, for not wearing masks at that event. We don't know the connection between the two yet, but you wonder. Also, there is a report from the Washington Post that they had some Titans players that had a workout on their own, away from the team facility, over the past week. And it's being looked into at this point, not substantiated, but we're having to wait and see on that part. So that covers the Titans angle. The Predators have bought out Kyle Turris and traded Nick Bonino. The principal that they got in return is Luke Kunin, a former first-round pick, 22 years old, from the Minnesota Wild. Okay, there's your recap. Tim Hasselbeck joins us next on the show, and we'll talk football with him. Stay tuned.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, Grove City. Did you know the new nationwide Children's Close to Home Center is now open at 1350 Stringtown Road? Get access to urgent care, lab services, therapies, and more from the trusted experts at one of America's top 10 children's hospitals, now closer to your home than ever before. Visit nationwidechildrens.org/grovecity for information about our services and make an appointment for your child today.